struggled all day yesterday. It seemed like I couldn't get nowhere coming up with the message. You know, came up with this, but I kind of questioned why this, you know, because the title of it is Work, and everybody in our church seems like a really good worker. You know, I'm proud of everybody. You know, the young people, they jump in there, they help when they're loading containers, going to Haiti, or working around the church on a Saturday. When we were building the sanctuary, it seems like anything needed to be done, they're right there in the middle of it, and the older folks as well. And Brother Charles, we about had to drag him away from the mowing, keep him doing himself in. He worked so many hours, so I'm glad to see him calm down a little bit. But I'm pretty much the same way at work. You can't tell it around here, I don't know what I'm doing, you know, building things, construction stuff, but get at work, I'm ready to get after it. And it just kind of annoys me to see someone loaf around. One of the guys next booth to me and another guy, they nicknamed me Racehorse Rick because just they tried to keep up with me and they ain't succeeded yet. But anyway, the Lord, when he first put people on the earth, first Adam and Eve, first two people here, he put them in the garden and told them not to touch that one tree, the fruit of it. You know, if you do, you will die. And, you know, there was a curse come after that. But before all that took place, the Lord put Adam there to take care of the garden in Genesis 2 and 15. It says, "And the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." So he first thing he did, he found him a job and put him busy, you know, to occupy his time. He had fellowship with Adam, but also he had a job to take care of. God gave him a responsibility. And when I was growing up, my mom, my dad were both hard workers. Back in them days, it seemed like everyone was. And, you know, they wanted the kids to be the same way. They brought us up to know what work was all about. And it helped me out when I got older. You know, I didn't have a problem finding a job when I went to look for one. It was, you know, if they gave me a chance, they found out I was a good worker. But not just tooting my own horn, but I'm just telling you like it is. But mom and dad, you know, they always kept me busy, and we found something to do all the time. We wasn't doing housework, we were washing dishes or mowing grass or something. It wasn't very often you got to slough off and go play at the neighborhood kids or anything. But let's just all look to the Lord as we begin here. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful, God, for you and the way you've moved here today, Lord, and way you've blessed each of us, God, and keep your hand on us, Lord. We just love you and thank you that you love us, Lord. And we just pray, God, that you would be with each of us and help us, Lord, as we go through these scriptures, Lord. Let them speak to our hearts, Lord. We'll give you the praise and the thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe you see it. But so Adam got put in the garden there to take care of it, you know, to dress it, to keep it. And Brother Peppers made the statement, he grew up on a farm and there was never a moment when you ran out of work. There was always something to do. And when I was a kid, you know, I always wanted to live on a farm. I always lived in town. But if I made it out there, I'd probably change my mind after a while, you know. But I would always wanted to be around the animals and, you know, out in the country and things. I like small towns that I grew up in. But anyway, part of the curse, because of Adam and Eve's disobedience, and Adam listened to his wife when she offered him of that fruit, and he disobeyed God just like she did, but they both partook of it. In chapter 3 of Genesis, verse 19, it says, "In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return to the ground, for out of it wast thou taken from... For dust thou art, and to dust shalt thou return." So he said, all the days of your life here on the earth, you're working, you're going to have to sweat, you know, earn your living. That was part of the curse and the pain in childbearing and different things, you know, and the thorns and the thistles. It was all part of disobedience that brought that on. And we are faced with that yet today. And just this last week, you know, it was brutally hot at work, and the type of work I do, it's hot anyway. You got all that heat coming up in your face all day. But I had to throttle back a little bit just to keep from overheating. And you can get too involved in it and cook yourself if you're not careful. You got to know your limits. But God was with us and helped us. And we got off a couple of days early, and then a couple of days after that, we worked our normal hours. So it got hotter each day. I don't understand how it worked out. But anyway, the Lord helped us through it. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, it says, there's a time to everything. There's a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. And even work, you know, there's time to play and there's time to work. And, you know, and over the years when I went to shop, you know, some places they were more slave drivers than other places. And they were breathing down your neck, watching every move you made. And if you slacked up, you know, they were on you. But it didn't bother me because I was just in there anyway going at it. But, you know, some of the guys, it really irritated them. But I don't like working for someone like that. If they are easygoing and appreciate what you do, I work just as hard as I do if they ride you. But someone just watching every move you make, it kind of gets under my skin. In Leviticus 23:3, see, there's a time to not work also. And we were leaving church here this morning, going home, and didn't get two or three blocks down the road, seeing two people mowing the yard. And I thought, well, why couldn't you do that on a Saturday, you know, or through the week instead of on the Sabbath day, the day of rest? And Leviticus 23:3, it says, 6 days shall thy work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, a holy convocation. Ye shall do no work therein, and it is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. And this part of the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20 in verse 8, it tells us it's one of the Ten Commandments to keep the Sabbath day holy. Back when I was a young boy growing up, we went to town. I lived in Kellerville, and it was a big adventure going from Kellerville to Spalpa. It was just 8 miles, but it seemed like it took forever to get there when I was a kid. We'd go get groceries and things we needed and come back, but half the stores would be closed on Sunday. There was hardly anything open on Sundays. You know, it was kind of looked at different than it is nowadays. But in Exodus 20:8, it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall thou labor and do all thy work. And the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant nor thy maidservant nor thy cattle nor the stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So this is one of the Ten Commandments. The Lord says, don't forget that one day of the week, set it aside just to worship Him and rest and relax and recuperate and have a little break. And Proverbs 13:11, says, wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. And, you know, there's certain times money comes your way, where it be inheritance or whatever, something like that, that you didn't really work for it, earn it. I believe this applies to it. It's going to disappear in a hurry. That's the way I look at it. It says, wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. You know, labor is the way to get it. You know, whatever increase you get, there's nothing wrong with working, giving a day's work for a day's wages. And I've always looked up to someone that would keep a job and, you know, work when they got there, not slough off. And there's anytime you work in a shop, you see a lot of people around you. Some of them are good workers, some aren't so good. You know which ones are which, and you get used to seeing what's going on. But the lazy ones seem like they always come up with more ways to get out of work than they spend more effort getting out of work than they do working. You know, it's been just easy just to do what they were supposed to do. And Proverbs 14:23, it says, "In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury." And penury, I didn't know what that word meant. I had to look it up. And it was talking about being destitute or in need. When you, penury is all it's talking about there. And in Ecclesiastes 9 and 10, says, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do with all thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest." And so whatever work you set your hand to, do with all your might. You know, exalt the Lord in what you're doing. Be a good example, and let the Lord be glorified by you being a light to others around you, and try to do good work. And my dad, he was a welder for several years, worked in several shops. He trained a lot of young men that was coming up under him, and I worked with some of them later, and they was talking about him, you know, and said he never was one to just go crazy, going fast as he can, but he was always busy, and he always did good work, and his work didn't come back. He didn't have to fix something that he worked on. It was right first time when it went out. In Romans 12 and 11, it says, "Not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord." So the Lord doesn't want us slothful in our business. In Colossians 3:23, says, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, not unto men, knowing that the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." And you know, if you've been in the ministry very long, it's not hard to get discouraged sometimes. You get to looking and you're wondering, you know, where's the fruit? You know, you labor and you don't always see results. And I went to the Veterans Center for years and the CCDC for several years, close to 20 before the COVID hit, but seen a few people saved. But then there's others, you know, you wonder, you don't really know, but I guess one day, you know, when we stand before the Lord, then you'll find out later, you know, maybe that you influenced others more than you thought. I hope that's the case. But you just got to keep pressing on. Don't listen to the devil. He'll get to telling you, you're not really accomplishing anything. You're not doing any good. But we know he is a liar, and he is the father of all liars. And if he tells us that, we know just the opposite is true, that we are affecting him, or he wouldn't be tormenting us with those thoughts. But Ephesians 4:28 says, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands in the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." And so it says, if you're a thief, quit being a thief. Get out and get a job and work for a living. And, you know, cut out the five-finger discount. That's what we used to call it. People would pick stuff up, run off with it, doesn't belong to them. But so that you might have to give to others. And that's also one of the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20:15, "Thou shalt not steal." So you got to respect others' rights and their property, and hopefully they'll do the same for you. And Proverbs 6 and 6. It says, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou rise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as on the one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. So the ant, you don't have to tell it to get busy. You know, you don't see one just standing around looking silly. You know, it's busy about what it's doing, and it don't seem to ever quit. It's running full throttle, going to what it's accomplishing. In Proverbs 13 and 4, Brother Lucas, I got you a card here for... Heating air man, it's Ron's son-in-law, and I was just for a bookmark. He gave him to me to pass out. I'll make sure you get one. It says, the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. So the Lord's going to meet our needs when we get out there and work and keep our job, you know, and do it. And he's going to make sure that we get fed. And you can look at me. I'm not hurting any for groceries, but the Lord provides. In Proverbs 20 and 13, it says, love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. So there's many scriptures talks about working and being busy. You can look, go through town, you'll find one ads here, there. You know, we're hiring, and right now it seems like the government's wanting to hand out money to people that don't want to work. Just let the ones that do work support them, which is not right, but that's just part of what we're facing right now. But hopefully one day that'll change. But Mark 13:33. It says, take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at evening, or at midnight, or at cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. So we're just talking about the Lord's return tonight. And nobody knows when it is. It could be tonight. It could be tomorrow, you know, getting close. But we got to be busy about his business he gives us to do. And he gives every man a job. There's something for all of us to do in his kingdom if we're just willing and get after it. In Matthew 25 and 25, talks about the parable of the talents. Since, and I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said to him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sow not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchanger, that at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it to him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. Cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So the Lord expects us to use what he gives us, and there we will stand accountable to him. Just like Pastor was saying earlier, you know, we're going to face the Lord one day. We're going to answer for some things, but I hope we are in right standing with him when we do that. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." And I think Brother Roberts made mention of that, testifying here lately about what we do for the Lord is not in vain. He remembers it, and he's keeping record of it. But it says, "Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." And I'm privileged to have a good pastor and his wife. They are always busy, always working. You know, don't know how they keep up with all what they accomplish. You know, just go one thing to the next, just keep going and never slack. And Brother Jason, all the business he's got going, I don't think I could even remember what all I had going if I had that much going. I wonder where am I at? You know, what am I doing? It's just more than I could take care of. But I'm proud of them for what they accomplished. In Philippians 2:7, it says, "But made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion of a man, as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Of course, we're talking about Jesus here. And he did it on his own. He wasn't forced to do it. He was willing to lay down his life, and he was willing to serve others. And he wants us to follow his example and serve one another in love. We can't get on our high horse thinking we're somebody, we're in this position or that. You know, we're all in it together. We're working for the Lord, and we're all pulling the same direction. And he wants us to be in unity. He wants us to love one another and be busy about his business. And says, "Let your light," Matthew 5:16, "let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So he gets honor from his children when they're busy accomplishing things for him, and he's proud of them. And just like we are of our kids. And 1 Peter 2:12 says, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may be your good works, which they shall behold, glorify your Father in the day of visitation. So if someone can badmouth you and talk bad about you, that's fine. You know, the Lord says they did the same to him, and the prophets in the past who said, rejoicing because they did the same for them, and you'll have a reward in heaven for it. But it says, let your good works glorify your God. In John 4:34, says, Jesus said to them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." And he came to do the Father's will. He didn't come to do his own thing. And everything he accomplished had a purpose. And he had us in mind. It was the love for the world, the sinner, that he came and died on that cross for. And I'm sure it wasn't pleasant and fun to do, but he was willing to go through that for us. And we talked about this morning, you know, how he had the scars in his hand to show, you know, his love for us. And we should never forget what he's done for us. He's done something for us that no one else could do. And we owe him all because of what he has done for us. And Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So good works aren't going to get you to heaven. We're saved by grace and through faith. It's just a gift from God. Nothing we did to earn it. We can't accomplish anything that's going to get us to heaven other than just surrender to God and saying, "I want it, and I accept you as my Lord. Please forgive me of my sins," and he'll be glad to do so. But he says after that, we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works, So those good works should follow once we are saved. And we want to lift up our Heavenly Father after we are born again by our actions. Hebrews 6 and 10, it says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have shown towards his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. We desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise." So there's going to be some patience, and it's going to take some faith, you know, to inherit our heavenly home that we're looking forward to. But it says, seek it diligently all the way to the end. Don't give up. Don't quit. And it says, God is not unrighteous. Forget your works and labors of love. And he is taking a note of all this taking place. He cares about each and one of us. He knows our sorrows and our joys, everything about us, more than we'll ever understand. But he is concerned about every one of us. He's got all the answers for us. But, you know, I don't know if this helped anyone tonight. It was short, but that's all I got. But I'll just look around every day, you know, going down the road, and you see all these help wanted signs, and maybe someone on the Facebook, you know, it'll help them. But I know we got some diligent workers here in the church, and it's a good thing, and God's going to honor you and bless you for it. But hopefully the scriptures will encourage you to stay after it, press on for the Lord. You know, don't quit, as he is coming soon. He is going to reward us for what we have done for him. Right to you, Pastor.